You're listening to the Missouri Review, Volume 32, Number 3, Copyright 2009, the curators of the University of Missouri. For subscription information, call toll-free 1-866-821-0389 or go online to MissouriReview.com. Poetry feature by Brian Swan. Brian Swan has published many books in a number of genres, including 7 books of poetry, such as Autumn Road, Ohio State University Press, and Snow House, Pleiades, LSU Press, 5 collections of short fiction, including The Plot of the Mice, Capra Press, and several children's books, including A Basketful of White Eggs, Orchard, Franklin Watts. He has translated 16 volumes of poetry and served as an editor for a number of volumes on Native American literature, including Voices from 4 Directions, Contemporary Translations of the Native Literatures of North America, University of Nebraska, and Algonquin Spirit, Contemporary Translations of the Algonquin Literatures of North America, University of Nebraska. His most recent book is Born in the Blood, Essays on Translating Native American Literature, forthcoming with the University of Nebraska. Swan is a professor of English at Cooper Union.
These poems are from a new manuscript set in Mexico, a Mexico more of the mind than geography, a kind of invisible Mexico created from all sorts of sources, historical and otherwise. I've spent many years studying the native literatures from north of the border, and I thought I ought to turn my attention south. Field of Flowers. And when the eagle saw the Mexicans, he bowed his head low. Fernando Alvarado, Tezozomoc, Cronica, Mexicayotl. A woman pokes about in the pile with a stick, turning over a radio's entrails. A boy sits and plays with the frayed edges of his shawl. The day before, he says, he saw an eagle land on the stinking ash and refuse. The blind are driven here and picked up late. They are attracted by the firelight that somehow gets through or reflects off the windows of new high-rises, reaching higher and higher, building upward as if they know what's on the other side. I pick up some dry petals and a twig as the sun begins to set over Montaña Humeante and its shrines to the Virgin, Mujer Blanca, over the magueys and Indian villages, their toasted beans and caged toucans, their silver that bruised everything it touched. I look up at Chapultepec, which gave its porphyry to the statue in the plaza with the broken hands. The wind evaporates on the full black braids of whispering women. I could ask them where to find some flowers. Where can I get huge flowers of the sun, the shield flower, Chimalxochitl? Where can I find beautiful, fragrant flowers? But I might as well ask the green flesh of hummingbirds, the evanescence of the tiny pájaro mosca. The women move away through broken blue-green laurels and scrub the color of llamas. Somewhere beneath the still radiant solar light, the flowers are fading to earth. In the white, wide lunar glow, they'll grow furry with dew, one by one reaching perfection, like the Emperor Cuauhtémoc and his men who at death turned to birds of rich plumage and went behind the sun to live in its wide fields of flowers, forever perfection. The Procession. Last night, in the smoke, the moon had a seizure, wobbling so you couldn't understand it. Flowers on the hillsides are still confused, flying off in the remaining wind. Peasants are following a funeral procession, heading for the horizon lost in blue lightning. The dead man's feet point backward to the maize fields where he was born. Ignacio whispers, he said, "Don't leave me to die on the side of the road. Don't leave me at night with my eyes covered between 2 policemen. Take me home." A dog knows a bone in the dirt. No sign of Policia. Later, in the café, he tells me he'd once read in an old book about a fountain in the rocks where the water pours out and becomes green, and about a turquoise spring that sings between pebbles and the bellbird responds. The song of the water, he said, sounds like tambourines. Where is this place? It's called Tonacatalpan, only for princes, owners of the world, a world only for princes, nothing for the vassals, the common folk, those who grieve, those who suffer torment and misfortune on earth. The procession passes, and the air is suddenly clear as glass. Moctezuma, I've heard, had many mirrors in his palaces, so he was everywhere and nowhere, exaggerated, diminished, getting lost in them, in himself, and the mirrors broke. The gods. Not that I've enjoyed the endless task of courting the dead and accounting for the darkness under our feet, filled now with pop songs and Saturday nights at the Café El Popular. Its laborers, off-duty cops and hookers in short red skirts, faces painted red and yellow, chewing chicle, which makes me think of seeds and how I'd wake them as if death just needed a nudge to come awake, as if it were not something older than itself or us, as if it was not something clear, clearer than ourselves, as if its blankness were just something to write on, not just leave blank or be blank about, so that it too could be counted a style, if not a belief at least, and not nothing, so buildings could continue to burst from it and ideas grow briefly into stone and paint, everything consistent, related, though still needing gods as glue, giving birth to what birthed them, the mind thinking itself and you trying to follow. The Galleon, with an epigram from Robert Bolaño's Distant Star. I was traveling in a big wooden boat, a galleon perhaps, crossing the great ocean. Each day on his way to school, he passed a glass front door through which, lit from within, a galleon sailed out into the back lanes, over wet cobbles and toward the shipyards. Each day he stopped and wondered what they had seen, those full scarlet sails on those cobalt waves. Where did they sail to? This invisible city? That's me, in short pants, green jerkin, long woolen grey socks, clogs, intoning Popocatépetl and Cotopaxi, the way the book said, pure sound, like this rain pinging the panes, only lapsing from time to time so night can pause and let more of itself in. The storm is free and shadowless, interrupted only by itself, where the whole southeast towards Popocatépetl and Iztaccíhuatl becomes one mass of mauve and ringing intermittent light, where I am lost inside the welter. Such a night. It is spitting back at you, hitting the window now with everything it has while I cower in this room, composing myself. I used to think you needed to know everything. Now I'm not so sure. Maybe you best know nothing. For, as Hui Neng, open before me, says, from the first, not a thing is. This, I'm thinking, could mean one has nowhere to stand and nowhere to be. Just as a flash hits the dusty mirror, which has nothing to illuminate since everything's already lit up like the galleon that sailed and keeps sailing on the bright nothing it created when I was a child.